Who says everything is so terrible? Maybe this is the good. Maybe it's better to have an empty stump than full of honey. And what are you talking about? Have you lost your mind? How could it be better to have an empty hole than full of honey? What are we going to sell, an empty hole in our store? Who wants to buy an empty hole? You're going to buy an empty hole? Reb Meir says, no, that's not what I mean. Let's go down to the bottom of the stump and see what's there. Oh, yeah, maybe a little honey dripped down to the bottom of the stump so you'll be able to sell a little more extra honey. Well, let's just see. Bring me the longest ladle. Not label, but ladle. You know what a ladle is? What does mommy get the soup out from the pot with? A fork? A knife? What does mommy stick in the soup to get out the soup? What's that big spoon called with that big handle? What's it called? A spoon. What is that big spoon called that you take the soup out?
Ladle.
Label? No, a ladle. That's right, a ladle. And Mrs. Reb Meir goes to the kitchen and she gets, well, they were in the kitchen. So she is in the kitchen, so forget about that. She got the longest ladle from her biggest pot. Reb Meir sticks it down to the bottom and he scoops up honey. Oh, look, some honey dripped down to the bottom. But wait a minute. Inside of the ladle, there was something there besides honey. Hey, look, there's a little bag tied with a little string. A little bag tied with a little string. What could be in a little bag tied with a little string? But it's very interesting that there's a little bag inside of the honey. Looks like a very old bag. Should we continue or what? Okay. Shh. Mare took out the little bag with the little string. Looks like an old bag. And he opens up the little bag after he cleaned it off from the honey. And inside was no honey because the string kept the honey out. And he poured out into his hand what was in the little bag. Do you have any idea what was in that little bag?
Money!
Well, not just money.
And honey!
Not money and not honey.
Jewels.
Jewels. Diamonds. Rubies, emeralds. Expensive jewels. Now, a little jewel could be worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, even though it's so small, but that's what jewels are. They're worth so much. Reb Meir says, somebody must have hidden this bag a long time ago in the empty tree stump. And for whatever reason, they never came back to get it. And over the years, it was sitting there. Until one day, the bees came. It must be that Hashem decided he doesn't want the money to be hidden anymore. Well, who's going to find it? So this is what Hashem did. He brought bees. And this goy, this woodchopper, fell asleep one day and then ended up next to the bees. And he sees a tree stump with bees and he figures out inside is honey. That's all he thought was, there was honey. And he got the honey in the tree stump and he wants to make some money to sell the honey. And he says, I'll go to Reb Meir. And Reb Meir bought the tree stump for the honey that the goy wanted and he paid him the money. But what did Hashem put in that tree stump that he wants Reb Meir to have? Not just honey. There was something else there. What was there in the tree stump that Hashem wanted Reb Meir to get?
Jewels.
Jewels. That he should be able to marry off his daughter Miralit. Look at the Ashkacha Pratis. And they were so happy. They took the jewels. They sold them. They got so much money. More than they could be for 1,000 trunks of honey. And they gave tzedakah, and they made a beautiful chasana for Miralit, and probably had enough money for all the other kinalach also to make chasanas, and to pay the bills and all that kind of thing. Dreams come true. And that's the end of the wonderful story. And of course, all the Rebbeim have this faraway look in their eyes in dreamland, thinking about this story. What do we learn out from this story? And of course, the next time they see a tree stump with bees flying around, you know where they're going to be. Today, the Parasha Milos is so important, I'm going to tape it, because I think it's a very, very interesting thing and important stuff. So I'm going to say it on tape. I don't know if I'll use it, but you never know. You never know if you don't try. Everybody will turn in the Parasha Milos for explaining the davening. We should know what we're saying in the davening. Shh. Okay, just to go over the first part, and then you're going to hear about the second part. Ashrei, you're very lucky. Ashrei means lucky and happy, fortunate. Yoishve, sitting, veisecha, in your house. Now, whose house is your house? Hashem's house. Even if you sit in Hashem's house and you do nothing, you're very lucky and you're very happy, because there's Kedusha, there's Halakhit, you're close to Hashem. But even if you're sitting and doing nothing, at least you're sitting nicely, you're behaving yourself in the shul or the yeshiva, oid, even more happy and more lucky, Yehallelucha, praising you. What means praising you? Even more happy if they go into the yeshul or the yeshiva and they're praising you. What is praising you? Who is you, and what means praising you?
Say a good thing about someone.
Oh, good. Very nice. Saying a good thing. Now, in praising Hashem, we're saying how great Hashem is, how kind He is. He has rachmanas. He helps us. He's great. He does miracles. He's powerful. Hashem never forgets anything. He created the whole world. The whole world is like nothing. We're saying all kinds of good stuff about Hashem. Now, that's, of course, davening and learning and saying Tillim. That's even more happy. Now, today I'm going to explain a different thing. Ashrei ha'am. Happy is the people. Shekachaloi. Kachaloi means so it is to him. Kacha. Kacha. It means, you know, like that. Kacha. Like that. Ashrei ha'am. Happy is the people. Shashem Elikov. That Hashem is his God. Okay. Now, what does it mean? Ashrei ha'am shekachaloi. Happy is the people shekachaloi. So it is. Kacha. Like that. So it is like that. Like, let it be. Kacha. Let it be. What does it mean? Happy is the people. Shekachaloi. So it is. Let it be. Zolzan Azoi. Ashrei ha'am. Happy is the people that the Abishur is his God. I'll tell you a story, and this explains it. This is a very beautiful story. Once there was a businessman. A very big, busy businessman who's very busy with big business. And of course, a big businessman has meetings, and he has important meetings, and over there they, you know, they discuss all kinds of important business stuff and lots of money and, you know, all the kind of stuff that business people do. And the man is a yid, and he's in shul for the davening. And right after the davening, he has to go to an important meeting. The meeting is going to be at 9 o'clock. And very important people are going to be by this meeting. And of course, it's going to be on time. Because by business, stuff has to be on time. Okay, now, in the shul is exactly a minyan. 10 people. Well,
the davening is not exactly over yet, and this man is looking at the clock. He has to leave. And he wants to go, but there's only a minyan in the shul. And you need a minyan to say Kaddish and all the things for the davening. To have a minyan, you have to have 10. If there's 9, is that a minyan? No. Well, he's got to leave. All of a sudden, somebody comes into the shul. Ooh, how many people are there?
11.
So, you only need a minyan, right? So he wants to leave. If he leaves, if there's 11 and one leaves, how many do you have left? 10, that's a minyan. And he's going for the door, and somebody else runs out the door. Not him, somebody else. They left before him. Well, how many do you have in the shul now? No, he stayed. Somebody came in, but somebody else left. So how many do you have?
10.
But he's stuck in the minyan. Because if he leaves, he's mavatal the minyan, which means he, you know, destroys the minyan. And he doesn't want to do that. Because the other people have to finish davening and saying Kaddish and stuff. Well, he's waiting. He's very impatient because really he wants to get to the meeting. It's very important. And all of a sudden, somebody else comes into the shul. Ooh, how many people are in shul?
11.
So that means he could leave. And he's about to go out the door and somebody else runs out the door. How many people are left in shul?
10.
Still a minyan. But he's got to be there in the minyan. Well, he wants to leave. It's getting later. Well, another person comes into the shul. And he wants to leave to be by his meeting, but somebody else ran out. Now, after a while, nobody else came into the shul, and he had to wait till the end of the minyan. And it took some time. What happened was he missed the meeting. And he missed out on all kinds of different things at the meeting. Because he was late, or maybe he missed a ride, whatever it was. But because he had to stay there, and because these people went out before him, and he wasn't able to leave, he missed the meeting. And it was an important meeting. Now, that's the story. But the story goes on. After the story, there's another story about the story. Later on, there was a special Talmud Chacham or a Rav, or maybe it was a Tzaddik, the story didn't say, but some special Yid heard about what happened in the shul. Somebody told him, because they saw what happened to this important businessman. And this Tzaddik, or this Rav, whoever he was, he listened to this story. And he asks the person that told him, let me ask you something. What did the man do each time somebody ran out of the shul? What did he do? Did he get really angry? Did he get upset? Did he get real nervous? What did he do? So the man said, you know what he did? He said, no, kachaloi. That's the way it goes. Let it be. If that's what is, okay. That's what happened. He didn't get upset. Somebody else left the shul before him when he wanted to go. What did he do? He says, no. Zolzana Zoy should be like that. Okay, Hashem wanted it like that. What can I do? Hashkacha pratis. Tashkacha pratis, and it happened, and okay. He didn't get upset. He says, Kacholoi, Zolzana Zoi, should be like that. Okay, let it be. Happened a third time. He really wanted to go. Somebody else slipped out ahead of him. What did he do? All right. Gamzula Toiva. It's all right. Should be good. Kacholoi, Zolzana Zoi. And the tzaddik who listened to this story of the Rav, he smiled and he says, this is what it means in Ashrei. He says, Ashrei ha'am shekachalei. Happy is the people shekachalei. They say, kachalei. Things go in a way you didn't expect it. Maybe something went wrong. Maybe you can get upset. Look what's happening. Like the businessman, he wants to go to the meeting. It's very important. And all of a sudden, he's stuck somewhere and he can't go. So you have two choices. You can get really upset. And you can start saying, hey, I'm missing the meeting. What is this? Get really angry. Hi, Vey, what's happening to me? Or you say, look, you know, who's running the world? I'm running the world. Who is running the world? Hashem is running the world. He wants it like that. Kokoloi, okay, should be like that. Zolzana Zoi, let it be. And you don't get upset because you say, if Hashem wants that way, that's the way it's going to be. And it's for the best. So he says, when you do like that, when you act like that, not only you are Ashrei, you are happy, but Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Alekov. Who is the person's God? He's showing that the Eibishter is his God. The Eibishter is running the world. When you do that, you're showing that Hashem is running the world. Not that you're in charge, Hashem is in charge. So that's what it means. How many boys understand that's what it means? When things go in such a way that you don't expect it, and you could get upset, you don't get upset, you say, Kach Eloi, that's the way it should be. Hashem wanted it that way. Shlomi HaMelech is walking in Yerushalayim in the winter time. He has three advisors, smart men, like smart officers, that he asks smart questions to. And they come now to a place in Yerushalayim. They see a man, and he's working on leather. He's working on animal skins, making them into leather. It's called tanning leather. And it seems that this is not the kind of thing a person would do in the cold winter outside. And the king was surprised to see the man is working outside with the leather. And the king now goes over to speak to the man. And the advisors are very interested that the king himself is speaking just to a simple man working with leather. They're interested to see what they're going to say, what the king is going to say to him. And also keep in mind, Shlomi HaMelech was the smartest of all men. And this is a simple man working on leather. And they're kind of smiling to each other. The king is speaking to this simple man. What's the king going to say to a simple man? Be very interesting to see what the king says to such a simple man. Well, the king goes over to me and says, isn't 7 greater than 5? Of course, the advisors are listening. What is the king saying? Of course, 7 is greater than 5. What is he asking him? Is he speaking some kind of secret language or something? Isn't 7 greater than 5? What's that got to do with anything? And how is the simple man going to answer the king? Is he speaking like secrets or something? Well, the simple man says, yes, 7 is greater than 5, but 32 is greater than 12. Now, the king seemed to understand, but these three advisors are scratching their heads. Wait a minute. What's he answering the king? The advisors are scratching their head. What are they saying? What are they talking about? And then the king asks the man, how many times has your house burned down? And the man says, twice and 3 to go. What? His house is burned down twice? Well, we can understand that as bad as it is, but 3 to go? What does it mean 3 to go? He knows with Ruach HaKodesh, it's 3 times his house is going to burn down again? Whose house burns down 5 times? What's going on over here? And this is, of course, what the king asked the man, and the man answers the king. And then the king, who the whole time seemed to understand everything, he's like leaving the man, saying goodbye. And then all of a sudden the king turns around and he says, by the way, if I send you 3 turkeys, will you take care of the 3 turkeys? And the man says, yes, if you send me 3 turkeys, I'll take good care of them. And the king smiles and says goodbye, and the advisors now are going behind the king, and they're walking in Yerushalayim in the winter. And, of course, the 3 advisors are thinking to themselves, what in the world just happened? Why don't they understand a simple conversation between the king and a simple man? That doesn't seem so simple. Well, after a while, the king turns around to his advisors and he says, advisors, you're my smart men, my smart officers. And you heard the conversation that I had with the man who was working with the animal skins. I would like you to explain what was being said. Explain the conversation. Well, they're scratching their heads. We don't exactly know, King, what was going on over there. We heard it, but we can't exactly explain it. And the king said, wait a minute. You're my smart officers. You're advisors. You're wise men. Your job is to find smart things and to say smart things and to be smart and figure things out. So therefore, you have to come up with the explanation of what the conversation was about. And if you do that, I'll give you 24 hours to do this. Now, you'll have exactly 24 hours. If you can explain, then you will keep your jobs. But if you cannot explain the conversation, you will have to lose your jobs. You will not be any more advisors of mine. Because after all, if you're smart advisors, you have to figure out things like that. Now, Kinalach, they knew the king was not kidding around. If the king said in 24 hours they have to explain it, they better explain it. And if not, they're going to lose their jobs. And what kind of job are they going to get if they're not going to be in the palace?
We're going to the gas station!
All right. I guess that's the job that they're going to have. And now they go back to the palace. And of course, they have 24 hours. And they start thinking. And they start looking up in books. And Sfarim. And Kabbalah. And secrets. And gematrias with numbers. And this means that. And different things. And they're looking up in all kinds of midrashim. And they're thinking, where else can we look up? How can we figure this out? And the night is going on and on, hours, and they're scratching their heads, and they're thinking, and they're not coming up with anything. And already it's morning now, and there's only a few hours to go, and they have no clue, they have no idea what's going on. Oy vey, what are we going to do? Finally, they get an idea. Wait a minute. Maybe this man will be working there today. So we'll run and ask the man, and maybe he'll explain to us what was going on. After all, he was talking to the king, and he'll be the one to know. So they ran over to the place in Yerushalayim where they saw this man working on the leather. And sure enough, he was there that morning. He was working again. Oh, Baruch Hashem, let's go ask him. And the three advisors go over to the man. Excuse me, do you remember yesterday the king came and we were with the king and he asked you a few things and you answered him? Remember that? Oh, sure, I remember you. Well, do you mind if you kind of explain to us what was going on over there? Because we would like to know. Is that okay with you? And the man said, well, yeah, it wasn't private. You know, it's okay. I could tell you what was going on. No problem. And, of course, the three advisors are so happy. Oh, now we'll find out. Okay. And they said, well, the first thing that the king said, he asked you, isn't 7 greater than 5? Oh, well, what's that got to do with anything? Could you explain us that? Oh, yes, the man said. There are 7 warm months of the year and 5 cold months of the year. And the king is asking me like this. Why can't you do your work, because you're working outside, in the 7 warm months? Because then when you're working outside, it's nice and warm. Why do you have to work in the 5 cold months? Can't you get your work done in the 7 warm months? And in the 5 cold months, you could be inside and you wouldn't have to work outside. Why do you also work in the 5 cold months? Because you're working in the winter. This is what the king is asking. Isn't 7 greater than 5? In other words, there's 7 months, which is more than 5 months. There's enough time in the warm months of the year to do your work. That was what the king was asking me. But you answered the king, yes, but 32 is greater than 12. What's 32 greater than 12 got to do with anything? Oh, the man smiles. Now, everybody knows, of course, that there are 32 teeth in your mouth. How many teeth do you have in your mouth? Everyone knows, of course, 32 teeth. I mean, didn't you ever stand there and count your teeth? You have 32 teeth in your mouth. Well, the man says like this. Well, yeah, you're missing a few teeth. Well, you'll have a few less. But when you get them back in, when they grow in, your permanent teeth, well, you'll get 30, you have 32 teeth. Okay, now, I guess most people have 32. Now, 32 is greater than 12. The man is saying like this. I have, Kinanahara, a big family. I have many kids. Now, that means each child has a mouth. And each mouth has 32 teeth. And the mouth with 32 teeth needs a lot of food to eat because I have to feed my family. And in order to feed my family, I have to make money. And in order to make money, I have to work. Now, 32 is greater than 12 means how many months are there in the year?
12.
He says, in order to feed my family, the 32 teeth of the mouth, even 12 months is not enough. Even if I would work all 12 months, it's not enough to have enough money for my family to be able to get things for them and food. In other words, I need all the time I can get, even in the cold winter, to be able to feed my family. So even 12 months, which is 7 and 5 together, is still not enough to feed my family. 32 is greater than 12. Well, the advisors are so happy they're finding out what's going on. But then they said, but wait a minute, the king asked you how many times your house is burnt down. And you said, twice and three to go. Did your house burn down twice? He smiles, he says, no. So what are you talking about? He says, look, the king is asking me like this. How many daughters have I married off? How many daughters have I made a chasana for? Because when you make a chasana for a daughter, it's just like your house burns down. What happens when chas v'shalom a house burns down? You lose all your money, right? What happens when you make a chasana for one of your daughters? It costs so much money, it's like you're wiped out. You have no money left. You spent all your money to make the wedding. So he says, how many times did your house burn down? The king is asking, how many daughters did you marry off to make a chasana for, which is just like your house burning down because you lose all your money because it costs so much to make a chasana. So I said, twice, which means I married off two daughters. And three to go. I have three more daughters I have to make a chasana for. So I'm also explaining to the king more why I have to work so hard. I have to make money to make weddings for my three daughters that didn't get married yet. Twice and three to go. Ah, the advisors are so happy. Oh, we found out the conversation. And now we have to go tell the king. Ooh, it's almost time. We have to run back to the palace because we have to tell the king he only gave us 24 hours. And if we don't tell him in 24 hours, we're going to lose our jobs. And what are we going to have to do if we lose our jobs?
Go work at a gas station!
Okay, you said it.
Go work at a gas station!
Okay, you said it, not me. Now, all of a sudden, as they're running away, all of a sudden, as they're going away, they remembered there was a little part of the conversation between the king and the man that they did not yet get an explanation for. What was the last thing the king asked the man?
If I'll give you three turkeys, would you take care of them?
Now, did he say give you three turkeys or send you three turkeys?
Send you!
Now, remember, every little part of this story, you have to listen to exactly the way it was said. If I send you three turkeys, will you take good care of them? Or as the man who told the story said, will you pluck them? But I don't know if you know what the word pluck means, where you pull out the feathers of the turkey. And I think he also said in the same story, will you take good care of them? Will you take care of them? And the man said, yes, I'll take good care of them. Okay. So they said to the man, what did the king mean if I send you three turkeys? Will you take good care of them? So the man smiles. Oh, the king was probably telling me about you. Now, who are these three? Who are the? How many advisors are there?
Three
advisors, right? That the king, in other words, these advisors will not be able to figure out what's going on. So they're going to come to the man to find out what's going on. And why don't they know what's going on? Well, I guess they're like three turkeys. And now, will the man take good care of them? Will he explain to them? Is he going to explain to them what was going on? So he says, yes, I explained to you what's going on. I'll take good care of the three turkeys. And of course, the three turkeys went back to the palace and they told the king what was going on. And probably they weren't turkeys anymore. They were advisors. And exactly what the king meant, more about three turkeys, I don't know. But that was the story that I heard. I thought it was a cute